You may begin.
Thank you very much, Tanya. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is the IGO-INGO-PDP Working Group call on the 15th of May 2013. On the call today, we have Consular Clergy, Claudia McMaster-Tamarit, Wilson Abigada, David Maher, Chuck Gomes, Thomas Rickett, Alan Greenberg, Judd Lauter, Mason Cole, Jim Bykoff, David Huseley, Evan Leibovich, Osvaldo Navoa, Greg Sutton, David George Turner, and Christopher Rashi. We have apologies from Wolfgang Kleinrechner, Ricardo Guillaume, Dylan Fournier, and Avi Dorian. From staff, we have Barry Cobb, Brian Peck, and myself, Matthew Tobin. I'd like to remind all participants to please state their names before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you, Thomas.
Thomas, you're on mute if you're speaking.
I was. Thank you very much, Barry. My name is Thomas Rickert, and I'm chairing this working group. And as usual, I'd like to ask you whether there are any updates to statements of interest. Hearing
Thomas,
and...
This is Barry. I just would like to let you know that we do have a few new participants that have joined the working group. First is Mike Rodenbaugh. Judd Lauter, as just was mentioned before the recording started, but he's with the IOC. And we have a third member that is asked to join but hasn't, I don't have their name in front of me, but is asked to join the working group and probably will start seeing activity on the list.
Great. Thanks, Barry. And welcome again, Judd, and welcome, Mike. It's great to see that obviously there are more and more people being attracted by this interesting subject, and you're fortunate because we've done part of the work that has to be done. So you can already benefit from some of the immediate findings that the group has come up with. Now, as you will see from the proposed agenda. The agenda for this call is very short, and that is partially because I guess that, you know, we've exchanged an awful lot of thoughts on the various positions. We have discussed various proposals that have been made by individuals working with us in this working group, and it turned out, you know, sometime surrounding the Beijing meeting, that there was a set of recommendations that got some traction, and we have further discussed these recommendations that have primarily been reflected in the registry stakeholder group's paper. Subsequently, I have asked a couple of times whether the members of this group had more proposals or alternative proposals to what's being recommended in the paper, and we've discussed things like potential fee waivers and other aspects of potential protection mechanisms that. At least according to my assessment, did not get too much support within the working group, which is why we have, you know, and we is Barry, Brian, and myself, we've put together a little spreadsheet because we wanted to find out whether the members of this working group, and I mean not only those that are present on these calls, but also those who are reading the email list, that they actually get a chance to contribute, and if it's just by saying no, we don't like all this, to the process. Reason for that is that I guess that we have exchanged a lot of views on the various aspects of potential protection, both at the top level as well as at the second level. We've talked about identical matches to the names. We've even talked about similar strings and potential approaches for protection of those. We've talked about names and acronyms. We've been looking at the legal situation supporting that, or not supporting that in certain circumstances. And ultimately, I guess that the set of recommendations that you find in the spreadsheet is the best set of recommendations that we had on the table so far. I should say also that these recommendations that are primarily derived from the registry stakeholders' proposal were just referring to 3 out of 4 types of organizations that we're looking at. You will remember that according to our charter, we're tasked to look at the IOC, the RCRC, the IGOs, and the INGOs. Certainly, there was no intention whatsoever to not talk about the INGOs when we talked about the registry stakeholder proposal, but this specific proposal just related to the first 3 types of organizations, while we didn't, you know, although we've discussed that at length, although we have not been able to get too much support for a set of criteria for eligibility for protection for the INGOs. And recently, Claudia McMaster-Tamarit has thankfully submitted a proposal that was liked by some to the list, but it was my impression that those who have voiced, how can I say that, maybe sympathy is the best word for it, with the set of criteria have also indicated that these would be maybe a starting point that additional refinement of the criteria would be needed. And this is why we've also included those in the spreadsheet. I should also say that, you know, having mentioned them at the bottom of the spreadsheet is no way meant to be a ranking. I guess that everybody will appreciate the fact that we're working on all 4 types of categories and that we're trying to digest the proposals. And it was our hope that we would get support or signs of opposition to the various recommendations that are mentioned in the spreadsheet for us to be able then to determine whether, you know, it is worthwhile reopening the discussion on those, further refining them to get closer to a consensus position, or whether actually everything that has been said was said and that we can move on to a consensus call. I'm cognizant certainly of the fact, and I should clarify that, and thanks to Claudia, I'm in a position to do that, that the proposal that she has submitted is a joint proposal, so it's not only been her proposal. And before I move to Claudia, who has raised her hand, I would also like to say that the spreadsheet that was sent out to you asking for feedback was not meant to be a consensus call. It was to share with you the level of consensus or the absence of it from a chair's perspective as a snapshot based on the discussions that we have. And we've also asked whether the participants of the group would like to see other recommendations included in a set of recommendations, and also to indicate if, you know, if let's say they would like a certain recommendation with some changes to it, that they should explicitly say what they would need to have changed so that they could support it, or if they want stronger protections, what stronger protections there should be so that they could support it. So I guess that is pretty much what I wanted to say as an opening statement. So again, this was not yet a consensus call, but this was just to see whether there is momentum in the group to further work on and refine the set of recommendations on the table, or whether everything has been said that that you as members of this working group wanted to say, and then we could actually move on and do a consensus call. So, Claudia, you have raised your hand. It's the floor is yours.
Thank you, Thomas. Thank you again for that point of clarification. I do think it is important to emphasize that the proposal did not come from me in my sole capacity. It came from us as in our representative capacity from ISO and from IEC to INGOs that are very well known and have had substantial history. Second of all, I'd like to just clarify, it's not the first time that for ISO proposed some criteria. We've been proposing criteria for several months now. So just to clarify, it's definitely not something new, and it's very much in line with what we have been proposing in the past. However, the third point I'd like to make is to say that it does reflect some maturation of our ideas, some of the exchanges that we've had with several members of the group who have raised their concerns, and just we have now implemented, reflected that input into something that we hope is very, very reasonable, which was our one of our larger concerns in terms of some top-level protection, for example, that was not reflected in this Excel sheet, which is much more along the line of technical and financial assistance. So thank you, Thomas.
Thanks, Claudia. And you're perfectly right in saying that proposals for INGOs have been made earlier, but also proposals have been made for IOC, RC, RC, and IGOs, but, for none of those proposals that were on the table, there was sufficient traction to call it consensus or even somewhere near consensus. So I guess that with the registry stakeholder-based proposal-based document that we had on the table, that was the first time in the history of this working group that we got some traction or more support than for other proposals that have been made. And I guess that also the set of criteria that you have submitted has been received more welcoming by at least some members of this working group than the previous proposals that have been on the table. But thanks for these additional explanations. I would very much like to open the discussion with you, and it's pretty much an open format discussion, because I want to get some feedback from you so that we can or you can help me make a determination as to how to move on. During last week's call, I have mentioned to you that I basically see two options to move forward, one of which is that we put out the initial report for public comment to get feedback from the community that might stimulate our thinking so that we can come up with more or alternative recommendations, which would then be the basis for a consensus call. And the second option would be to further discuss and refine the proposals that are currently on the table and then publish the initial report afterwards, including those recommendations that have been, further refined by the working group. I have to be honest with you, I would have hoped that we would get more feedback, particularly from those who have said earlier that they're not happy with the set of recommendations on an as-is basis, but there has been little response with respect to that. So we have not seen substantial changes by many to the recommendations or additional or alternative recommendations that we should discuss. So I am not sure whether we as a group should actually open up the discussion more at this point in time, because I guess there is no real new thought that has been voiced. But that's something where I would like to get feedback from as many of you as would like to speak, so that you know, we need to determine now whether we think that there is momentum for further refining these recommendations, and if we think that everything has been said that has to be said, and that those opposing to certain recommendations will continue to oppose to them, and that they don't have proposals to change them so that they could like them, then we could either put out the report and do the consensus call afterwards, or we could even do the consensus call now if we don't expect more movement to the scene of views, let's say, in this working group. I have consulted with ICANN staff earlier on, and you know, we could have the initial report ready sometime next week. So the time difference between us publishing the initial report without having done a consensus call versus doing the consensus call and then putting out the initial report would only be a couple of days. So, you know, this is just to set the scene for discussion, and I have Claudia first in the row.
Hi, Thomas. Just to answer your question about this particular in terms of some ways of moving forward, some points of clarity. I found it quite difficult to answer what we would say to certain of these propositions for two reasons. One, it seems that the protections are not separated from those who are protected. And like I said, it can be very misleading if, for example, we were to support a full name exact match to be added on the top level, but then it specifically includes three organizations, not including NGOs. I think that's a very confusing message. So I would recommend, if possible and if others agree, to separate the protection asked for from those who are protected. That way you can get a more specific response that's not misleading. And I think, second of all, if possible, also to again, please include in the top-level protections the protections that that the ISO IEC proposal included, which was the fee waivers funding for objections at the top level, which is a very different kind of protection from an exact match reservation, but it's still very much a real assistance, both technically and possibly financial, for a protected organization.
Claudia, I'd like to briefly respond to that. With this document that you have in front of you, I have tried to share with the group my current assessment of the consensus level. And according to my assessment, we do have consensus for IOC, RCRC, and IGO protections for exact match names at the top level. We do not have that consensus for the INGOs. And also, we've been discussing the question of fee waivers, and members of this working group have even gone to their respective groups and got feedback from there. And the predominant response that we got was that they were not in favor of fee waivers or fee reductions, so that, according to my assessment, consensus would be limited to the three organizations without a fee waiver. So that's just a point of clarification, because this document should not list all the protections that have been discussed by the group, but this document should only reflect those recommendations that I, from a chair's perspective, and unfortunately it's my duty to do an assessment of the consensus level, to share with you the level of consensus that I have spotted. Ellen, you're next.
Yeah. First, a question, and then a number of comments. When in the chart you say consensus, what level of consensus are you implying? Because the working group rules talk about different levels of consensus.
Yes, and you find them there. And as you know, there are various types of consensus. So consensus is the word consensus, and I'm not talking about full consensus, is used synonymously with rough consensus. So maybe the term rough consensus is more known in the trade for what we have now declared or tagged consensus.
Okay. I would suggest that what you have in several of those cases is less than consensus, that is only a small minority, since at large, NCSG and to a large extent the representatives of the INGOs are not agreeing on some of those. So I question whether the word consensus is the correct one. However, that wasn't the gist of the main reason I raised my hand. Two things. Number one, I'd like to strongly support the position that Claudia submitted on behalf of the INGOs, and I've privately identified with her some concerns I have, you know, at the detailed level. But overall, and the reason I'm saying it here is I found it refreshing that she was looking at and suggesting, she and the co-presenters were suggesting protections other than blind blocking. And I really wish this group would focus on multiple levels of protection and differentiate between them to try to come to closure on it. That's point number one. Point number two is, one second, this whole thing is now shrunk enough that I can't see it anymore. Hold on. I really feel that if we're going to come out with a preliminary report in my mind should be of one of two different flavors. One, it is something that we believe is close to a final report and we want to get community comment on. Or two, the group is divided on a number of issues, and in that case, I believe we need to present all of the alternatives or both of the alternatives that are viable to parts of the group so that we can get community comment not only on the majority one, but on the others as well. So, for instance, in the case of top-level protection, yes, there are a number of people who say, let's just block them, put them in the guidebook, and put them in the registry agreement, and they're in the guidebook, and they're blocked. And a number of us have said that we do not believe there should be blocking. We believe objections, either existing ones or new ones, should suffice, and possibly augmented with fee waivers and things like that. So if we do not have very close to full consensus on a position, I do not believe the preliminary report should present only the one case. I believe it must present the alternatives. Thank you.
Thanks, Alan. Just a quick reaction to your points. Number one, thanks so much for your observations with respect to the consensus level, and this is actually what I have explicitly asked in my note that was included in Barry's email to the list, because I wanted to get your feedback whether you share my view on the consensus level or not, and it's good to hear feedback on that, although certainly I would have wished that you fully share my observation and assessment, but that's very valuable input. As far as the INGO recommendations are concerned, it is good to see that you have individually discussed with Claudia, and you will remember from the very early days of this working group that I have very much encouraged and at times participated in individual discussions to help work on compromise positions that would stimulate consensus finding. What I have not seen yet is a lot of traction for the recommendations relating to INGOs. And that was also a reason why we did this exercise with the spreadsheet, because we wanted to find out whether there is still little support for those, or whether, you know, the situation has changed, particularly in the light of the set of recommendations that was lately sent out by Claudia to the list. So again, I would encourage all those who think that there should be protections for INGOs to speak up and make themselves heard or document that on the list, because so far I have not seen too much evidence support for that. You know, there have been, as I mentioned earlier, there has been sympathy. We have heard people saying, and I'm not going to quote any names because I wouldn't be able to accurately quote them from the top of my head, who said that there are INGOs that are worthy of protections, but they didn't further specify on the basis of what criteria that should take place. And I said, okay, if you want these to be protected, you have to spell out a proposal. And if you don't like the proposals that are on the table, then please let us know so that we have something to discuss what your proposed changes to the existing language are. So, again, if you want the INGOs to be beneficiaries of the protections or included in a set of recommendations that we can put out for a consensus call, please make yourself heard. I lost my train of thought there, but I guess it was also related to this very point. But Alan is the second in the queue, so he can refresh my memory so that I can then comment. I have Poncelet. Poncelet, you are next. Maybe your microphone is on mute.
Thank you very much. Okay, yeah, from over there. Thank you very much, Thomas. I just want to go back to the options you said you had, and I believe the stage we have reached now, we should start getting feedback. We should the initial report should be published, so we get feedback from comments, but covering all views, those ones that whether a consensus or it has a divergent view, so. And we can get different views on when the comments are made, and then we can now come back and do the analysis. I think that's the way to go forward, so that when it's out there for comments, I think we shall be able to judge, especially when it comes to the INGO's protection. That was my little contribution. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Poncelet. And in the meantime, the point came back to me, and that was Alan's point on the report, which you, Poncelet, also touched upon. Just to be clear, certainly the report will contain the options that we're discussing, and it will not be confined to the latest set of recommendations. So in that sense, you know, in order to get more feedback from the community, we will certainly share with them the views that have been exchanged by this working group, and be able to make an informed decision or on what they would recommend or comment or even make alternative proposals. Alan, please.
Yeah, just to be clear, on related to the INGOs, ALEC has been saying we support some level of INGO protection from way back before it was even on the table when we started looking just at the Red Cross and IOC. And I believe in the last few calls, Avery has indicated a similar level. I'm presuming Claudia will come out with a revised version based on the comments she's gotten privately and the feedback on these calls. And I think you're going to see more support than you've seen before. You may well not get support from registries and registrars and some other parties. And I'll put a personal stake in the ground. This is one of the few areas where when we start talking about the public interest and is ICANN supporting it, support for INGOs of the class we're talking about, I think is one of the measures that ICANN is going to be rated on. And I think I believe it's an important issue. If this working group ends up not recommending such a level of support, I know you're going to get a minority report from at the very least at large, and I would hope from others, because I think this is a really important philosophical question that ICANN should not be ignoring. Thank you.
Thanks, Alan. And since you were saying that, quote-unquote, you will get a minority report, so if you address me...
Not you, the working group and the overall report. And
sure, but let me be perfectly clear on that. I'm absolutely neutral as regards to the question whether or what protections are going to be recommended or not recommended. It is my duty, though, to guide the group procedurally and make assessments in terms of the consensus level. And also I feel sort of a moral obligation not to waste everybody's time. And it was my feeling that we have been starting to move in circles because people have sort of stood firmly with their original positions that they have repeatedly documented both on calls as well as in written statements on the mailing list.
To be clear, you is a convenient pronoun. It was not aimed at you, the person.
It was
what you're doing overall.
Thanks, Alan. But it was an opportunity for me to comment on that. And I should also add that it is true, Alan, that ELEC has voiced support for the protections of INGOs. That was included in the paper that you have submitted in response of the feedback, the request for feedback form. You know, I guess the name I'm not remembering correctly now, but you've made that statement. But you will also remember that at the time I have asked you what the exact criteria might be, because you have come up with the general notion that there are worthy INGOs and that subject to certain conditions, the protection should be made available to them. But the question on concrete criteria, i.e. protections in what number of countries and so on and so forth, those questions have remained unanswered. And I guess that's the difficulty that we're dealing with, that for the INGOs in particular, there has been sympathy, but we have not managed as a group to come up with a set of criteria that would serve as the basis for eligibility for protections that would find broad support with the working group. Greg, please.
Thank you. It's Greg Shatton. I would first note that I've been voicing support again for some level of protection for INGOs as well. That's the general sense I get from other members of IPC, although I think we need to look carefully at, again, the devil's in the details, what the eligibility criteria are, what those protections are, whether they are, in fact, additional protections, noting that one of the criteria put forward by the IEC ISO is trademark or other legal protection under laws of multiple countries. That would seem to mean that they're already qualified to register in the TMCH, either as trademark holders or as statute/treaty protected trademarks. So not entirely sure that what's being sought is additional protection, perhaps just a clarification of that existing protection, is there, and maybe there's more of a need for outreach than there is a need for a change in any actual eligibility for the trademark clearinghouse. Thank you.
Thanks, Greg. That's very helpful. Ellen.
Yeah, I guess I just want to say when we made the original proposals, we were talking about far more subjective criteria, which is what the ALAC had recommended at that point. I'm delighted that we now have some INGOs who are speaking up and on behalf of themselves and coming up with criteria which may be more acceptable to this group than what we proposed. To a large extent, this is something we supported, but we're not an INGO, and it was not easy or perhaps realistic for us to propose the details. So I'll just go on record as saying I'm happy the way it's going now, and I hope it will go faster than it was before. Thank you.
Alan, I have one follow-up question for you, and that is that ALEC has been very firm on the requirement of evidence of harm. So are you suggesting that ALEC has changed its view, or maybe I have misunderstood ALEC's view, so that you would accept protections without the evidencing of harm if only the objective criteria would be objective enough?
We've made the case that that evidence of harm or prospective harm should be part of all of this, because in general we do not support protections which are not allied with that. That is the main reason to do it, is to stop bad things from happening. From my personal point of view, and I'm not going to try to make a statement based on statistics, I would think INGOs are among the easiest ones who could prove that kind of past and prospective harm. But if the group is not willing to accept that for anyone, then, you know, there's only so much I'm going to tilt at windmills which aren't going to go over. So I would prefer to see harm demonstrated on all cases as a prerequisite.
Mm-hmm.
I suspect INGOs would have about the least, many of the INGOs we're talking about would have about the least difficulty in demonstrating that prospective harm. But that doesn't alter our feeling. But if it's not going to go anywhere, it's not going to go anywhere. I'm not going to keep on beating it just to see if it dies.
Thanks, Alan. And just to give a little bit of history to those who have not been on the call from the very beginning, there has been a big debate as to whether harm needs to be evidenced as a prerequisite for granting protections. And we had different camps in response to that question, and there were those who said they already had provided evidence of harm previously to the group. There were others who said that they are receiving legal protections which are granted without them being required to evidence any harm. So they were not willing to offer any evidence of harm, and we have not been able to come up with a compromise on that. So you know, I guess that the evidencing of harm is something that we can't really proceed on. Evan, please.
Hi. This is Evan Leibovich. I just wanted to, although I haven't said much, I haven't had to, because Alan basically has been saying just about everything that I wanted to, and I just wanted to express my support for what he's saying, and especially on the issue of proving of harm, and on the additional issue that IGOs probably would have an easier time of it than many of the IGOs coming forward in terms of proving public harm. So I just want to make it clear that even though when Alan says he's speaking in a personal opinion, number one, by and large, I'm agreeing with most of what he's saying, but also to say that that the viewpoints he's expressing are indeed, I believe, widely shared within the at-large community and could easily be endorsed should it come to that. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Evan. Any more comments? So we've been discussing the INGOs now for quite some time. I guess what I would like to hear from the representatives or the individuals on this call is whether they think they would be able to support INGO protections on the basis of the criteria in the spreadsheet or variations thereof, or can we not expect any movement on that? I see that's the reason why we have put together the spreadsheet, because it's, you know, we wanted to give everybody the chance to say yes or no, or, you know, make their own proposals, but it is difficult to determine a lack of consensus or the presence of consensus if you don't make yourself heard. Mary.
Hi, Thomas and everyone. This may not be particularly helpful, but NCSG has not been able to come together to discuss our responses. There is a draft that's been circulated, but because most of the people involved in this have been traveling and are in Geneva with all the IG stuff going on, so we hope to have it back to all of you as soon as possible. But we are tracking it and discussing it in our group.
And Mary, I guess that most of the members of this working group do have to go back to their respective groups and check with them, but nonetheless, they would share their personal views with us. So would you be willing to do that?
I can do that. Of course, it is a personal view. I think some members may share some of my views, but I think some of my views would be divergent with quite a large number of our members as well. So with a huge grain of salt, I mean, I think practically speaking, the question of the top-level protections, it is what it is. I think in principle it's not a path we should have gone down with the board and the GAC, but we did. So the consensus position from our group on the top level makes a lot of sense. On the second level, I would say that my personal view, and that I believe of my group, is, as you know, I think, Thomas, is we don't support acronym protections. In terms of eligibility in the clearinghouse, we don't like the idea of Sunrise because it creates risk for potential registrants, especially if we go down the acronym route. We may be more amenable to a trademark claims process, or I certainly think a trademark type claims notice process, may be workable, provided that in the implementation there's clear protections for legitimate users and warnings and so forth. On the UDRP and URS and modifying, I think it certainly makes sense because we're not talking about trademark rights here for the most part. So I would say, my personal response closely parallels what the registry stakeholder group sent in. On the INGO issue, I think I'm quite comfortable saying that I don't think NCUC or NCSG would support it. I personally think that since we have not been able to come up with a list of objective criteria, that is correct. But what Claudia and her group have recently suggested, I think is an interesting possibility that could be open for discussion if we have time. And if we don't have time or we don't have consensus on that, that it may be something to share with registry operators who may want to create new protections themselves. So I hope I didn't send everybody to sleep. That's my walkthrough, my personal view of the spreadsheet. I mean, I want to add, though, that whatever it is that we do in this group, there's nothing to prevent registry operators from adding to or increasing the kind of protections that are already here. So that's just something to bear in mind, that maybe what we want to do is have a minimum type of recommendation and have individual registries develop their protection mechanisms as they see fit for their markets. So that's me. And I guess I did send everybody to sleep. Sorry.
I was just on mute. I thanks for speaking up because I was already talking in response to what you were saying. Again, thank you for sharing your views with us, and it's been very very helpful and informative. I have one follow-up question for you, though, and that is with respect to Sunrise. According to my assessment, we would have broader support for the ability of organizations to apply for an entry in the TMCH and or equivalent service and then benefit from the trademark claim service. But with respect to acronyms and or with respect to Sunrise, you have been very hesitant. And I think that you, Mary, have even kicked that off. At least you were the first one to mention that to the group. Wouldn't you agree that Sunrise, though, is a nice opportunity for the organizations in question to get their name if they want it? and if they don't want it and if they don't pay for it, then it would be available. And also, if there is another rights holder with an entry in the TMCH or who is otherwise entitled to participate in Sunrise according to the registry's individual Sunrise eligibility criteria, then there would be a level playing field between the organization in question and the other rights holder. So it's the mere fact that they can get the first bite of the apple potentially based on certain conditions already going too far for you?
Actually, thanks for asking, because I should have clarified. I think there's a huge distinction between the full name and the acronym. I think that, and there's also a distinction, obviously, between a Sunrise process, which is the first bite of the apple, and a claims notification. So if we go to full name versus acronym, I don't see a problem with full name, because then it makes very clear that it is the organization, right? And there's no reason why they ought not to have that kind of potential reservation if they wish. With the acronym, that's kind of where I have a problem. And I suspect that's going to be where my group has a problem because of things we've discussed before. So if we make a distinction between names and acronyms, then hopefully the Sunrise position becomes clearer.
Okay, thank you very much. Who else wants to chime in on that? Okay, now the question remains procedurally how we proceed with this. And I would like to hear more views on my assessment of the consensus level. We heard Alan saying that he thinks that in some instances where I have declared or my assessment was that we have consensus or rough consensus on certain positions, he thinks that we are not that far. So I would very much like to hear from more people in the group as to what their thinking is, and also whether they think that with further negotiations we can achieve more than we presently have. Chuck, please.
Thanks, Thomas, and thanks to everyone else. My personal assessment is I didn't think your assessments were that far off, nor do I think that it matters too much whether it's consensus as defined in the charter or strong support at this stage of the game. So I don't think it pays to argue between which one it is. With regard to next steps, I think it's time for a preliminary report. And like several people, starting with Alan, said, that report needs to show the differences of opinion and not particularly slant views any particular way, although each of us within our own groups can communicate to the to the people in our organizations with regard to where the working group's at. But the report should show the positions and arguments and ask for feedback. The fact that we do a preliminary report doesn't stop us from working. In fact, we can continue to work on the list, and if needed, calls if we think they'll be productive. While the preliminary report is being commented on by the community, but I think we need broader feedback right now. And if we delay much longer, this thing's going to drag out way too long. And so I think we should get the preliminary report out there for public comment as soon as possible. Thanks.
Thanks, Chuck. I have one follow-up question for you, and that is whether, your assessment is that we should put out the report now, displaying the various options, and I get back to the options in a moment, or whether, judging from the previous discussions, we can even do the consensus call now and then publish the initial report, including the outcome of the consensus call, because you know, we're trying to work so that we can have our work completed by the Durban meeting. And I guess for the community, it might be more beneficial for them to get our, you know, preliminary result rather than just a set of options. And in terms of options, I guess that, you know, when I said that we will certainly display the various options, I think we should make it easier for the reader and have different sets of recommendations that people can either support or, you know, not support, but just, you know, listing all the various points that we have discussed over time might be too complicated and confusing for the reader.
Okay, Tom, this is Chuck again. I think we ought to get out the preliminary report now. If we try to do a consensus call and see where we're at, I mean, I'm not opposed to that if we could do it very quickly. My main priority is to get it out there and allow people to comment as soon as possible to get that process going so we have those that feedback to wrap up our final report. If to the extent that we can show that there's strong support for certain positions, I think that's okay. And maybe that's helpful. I'm not sure. So maybe I back off a little bit of what I said in my first comments. But anyway, I think the sooner we can, I think we ought to get the preliminary report out there within a week so that we can start getting feedback. In the meantime, we keep working on areas where we think we can accomplish something where people want to pursue, that people want to pursue further. And hopefully that answers your question.
It does, in fact. Claudia, please.
Hi. I'd just like to lend some support to Chuck's sense of urgency and say I agree with the efficiency and the speed with which we could really put out something to the public to get some comments. And I think that, for us, really highlights the importance of making sure that all the protections that we've asked for, where there have been, and here I'm sorry, Thomas, I do have to disagree with you, but where there has been, even if it is a minority, but some four more reasonable protections, for example, at the top level, including funding for objections, and also including things like Avery talked about, which was applicant support at the top level. When we're talking about INGOs, they're not all particularly ICANN savvy. They don't have a lot of necessarily resources to pay legal staff and technical staff to help them kind of understand what a top level is, how it could help them, you know, reach the world. How to deal with the cyber spotting that they see and they don't always know what to do with. So when we were asking for these kind of reasonable and weaker sort of protections that really do boil down to tech, financial, and yes, sometimes even informational assistance from ICANN, it's because as an IGO, we can see some of these problems, and I can recognize that other INGOs who might not be as large as we are might even find themselves in a harder position to even understand some of these issues. We see that there's only two other INGOs other than the IOC and the Red Cross in this working group. And I think that speaks volumes. We've talked about it from the very beginning. So that's why I think it just behooves us to, if we do come out with this report, a preliminary report, which I do hope does come out soon, that it include, for the public's consideration, such weaker protections as applicant support and funding for objections and any other technical or financial assistance that I can provide, ICANN can provide, to INGOs to make sure that we get some of that feedback from the public as well.
Yes, thank you, Claudia. The difficulty, though, is, you know, I'm not saying that financial support or fee waivers should not go into the report. But when you originally stated that all proposals that have been made during the lifetime of this working group should be included in the report as options for the community to consider, I would say that this goes a little bit too far, because we do want to inform the community with the previous deliberations of the working group, and if there were proposals that did not get any traction within the working group, then then I think that we don't have, that we don't accurately reflect the view of the working group if we put them all into the report. I see some agreement with this, Claudia. If that was not your intention, even better. So you will get a chance to look at the report prior to it being published, certainly, so you can double check whether it is something that you like or not, and make suggestions. But still, in terms of the protections or the recommendations for protections that we put into the report, I guess it would be the easiest and best way forward to have them packaged in a set of recommendations that people can more easily digest. Alan.
Thank you. I think Claudia has made what she meant clear, but just to make it clear, as one of the proposals of a whole bunch of ideas that have had no traction, this report is not the opportunity to revise things that are really dead, but things that are still alive and being brought up regularly, it should be referencing. Thank you.
Sure. That's my understanding as well. So I have received some support for the proposal to finalize and publish the initial report while keeping up our work on the mailing list. And Alan and Claudia, I've heard you saying that you have been working on some refinements to the set of recommendations or criteria that are on the table. So we can continue working on those in parallel. And as Chuck says, nothing keeps us away from scheduling a call if need be. But I guess that for the moment, I would take your direction, unless Stefan or others might say completely different, that we should not do the consensus call now, publish the report, and keep on working on the mailing list. Stefan, please.
Thank you very much, Thomas. This is Stefan Hankins, the Red Cross Red Crescent. Thomas, because the conclusion seems to be, that the report will be drafted and issued, I was just wondering, indeed, and I think this might have been raised beforehand, whether the report will reflect, some additional points of view or claims and or positions of the concerned organizations, which might extend beyond the actual recommendations. The reason I mention this is, as we have made the case before, the very scope of the designations which are formulated in specification 5, do not, as fully cover the concern that we have expressed, which is that the designations Red Cross, Red Crescent, Red Crystal be reserved, as well as, that the actual full names of the organizations concerned. You remember that our initial understanding is that, the protection of the designation Red Cross would adequately cover the actual names of Red Cross organizations such as American Red Cross and others. This is not the case. So I just wanted to ask, whether the report intends to at least flag, that there are additional concerns and considerations that have been raised, and that the organizations concerned have noted that, these additional claims also need to be taken into consideration. Thank you.
Thank you, Stefan. And I would like to give Barry or Brian the opportunity to chime in. It is my understanding that the various positions of the working group members will be referenced to, if not included in the report. Is that correct?
This is Brian Peck from ICANN staff. I mean, usually, yeah, the reports do any formal statements that were submitted during the process of the working group would be included as part of it, would be briefly summarized and then and discussed in the report.
Thanks, Brian. Stefan, does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you. Simply, I assume that there is no need for us to restate once more. There have been different communications from the respective organizations over the past month. But if there is a requirement that, you know, somehow this be reformulated, if that can assist, then, you know, we would be in a position to do that. Thank you.
Thank you, Stefan. And reading in the chat that we should be doing it right and not doing it fast, but finding the right balance is certainly correct. I would like to add that doing it right might not necessarily be letting or allowing for the discussion to linger on forever. You will have heard me say, you know, and this was meant as wake-up calls, that people should make themselves heard if they want their positions to be reflected, or that they should come up with alternative proposals. And as you will know, the feedback from the working group participants has not been particularly overwhelming, to put it that way. So I guess that this is, you know, you should perceive this, all of you, pretty much as one of the last opportunities to actually inject thoughts into the discussion process. It's not too late, but it's high time for you to speak up. Alan, please.
Just to inject what I will call a note of reality in this, if a draft report is going to be drafted, there is going to have to be sufficient time for the working group members to review it and comment on it. So it's not just a matter of drafting and sending out to the public for comment. Let's make sure the working group has an opportunity to have a go at it also, please.
Yes, the report will be finalized now, and you will certainly get the opportunity to look at it for a couple of days. Barry and Brian, again, I'm looking at you. Can you give me an estimate of a realistic time frame for that?
Thomas, this is Barry. Go ahead. So what I'm going to suggest is that we'll have the first draft. It'll be the second draft because we've already got a good start on it. But we'll have the next draft available for the working group by Wednesday of next week. And then we can give the working group a week to respond to inputs to that, and hopefully try to target for the 29th to start a public comment period. And depending on the feedback that we get into the report, that date may or may not change. But that gives us time to finalize. It gives staff time to finalize all the inputs into the report to make sure that we've gathered all the positions and points per Stefan's comments. And then finally, that gives the working group a week to provide input into that draft before we make it out into hopefully the 29th for public comment. And again, depending on the amount of feedback that we receive and the number of changes, will dictate what that target date ultimately becomes.
Okay. Well, that's very helpful. And with this, I would like to end this call. So next week, we're not going to have a call. In fact, we're not going to have calls unless we explicitly invite to them. That certainly doesn't mean that the working group should go to hibernation mode. We should actually be working on the set of recommendations more. Please do use the opportunity and fill out the sheet, provide feedback. Please come up with alternative proposals, and keep your calendars marked for Wednesdays at 16 UTC, because, you know, should there be the need for the group to discuss, then we will certainly call for a telephone conference for the group to discuss this. But in the meantime, I do hope that we will be able to refine what we have on the table via email We will then publish the initial report, and then certainly once we have feedback from the community, we will carefully analyze that and discuss this with the group. So unless you have more things to say today, you know, this would be your last opportunity to speak up. I see Greg's hand up. Please.
Sorry, I couldn't resist. I just wanted to point out that I did circulate a spreadsheet, and that it does not represent a formal IPC position, but does reflect the sense of a number of members. There's a column in the spreadsheet that's posted on the Adobe Connect. I think that's actually from Jim Bykoff, so that's not, neither are the sense of the IPC, but I think that's just a matter of how these things are formatted. And I did want to point out that while, you know, my personal position has generally been in support of protections at the top level, that in polling the members of the IPC, and as I say, we haven't been through the polling or counter-polling, you know, there is a divergence of views on whether there should be protections at the top level. So unclear what the IPC position will end up being. It may be that that divergence still falls within some view of consensus or rough consensus. But right now, there are definitely those within the IPC that would not support preventative protection removal from delegation at the top level for IGOs generally. Thank you.
Thanks, Greg. And with this, I think we can end this call. Thank you all for your participation and patience, and I'm looking forward to reading you on the list and hearing from you soon. Take care.
Thanks, bye.
Thanks, Thomas.
Thanks, Tom. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Tanya. You may now stop the recording.
Thank you. Bye.